Welcome to Reimagined, the show where we transform selfless syndrome, help you connect to your intuition and get out of your head so you can shift your relationship to yourself, others, and reignite your passion and purpose. I'm your host, Dr. Alex Swenson-Ridley, the founder of Emergent Women Coaching and a woman on a mission to help other high-achieving women alter their experience of life from one of sacrifice and burnout to pure joy and freedom. Join us each week for live interviews, deep dives into leadership, health, healing, and reimagining our lives to be one where we stop giving from an empty cup, leave the guilt behind, and get reconnected to ourselves. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the show. I am really excited to introduce today's guest. She is joining me all the way from Australia. And her name is Irene Sim. She's the managing director of the Coaching Alliance Group, as well as an industry accredited executive leadership coach, mentor, and facilitator. She has extensive senior organizational leadership experience, and she knows that women are often held back by deeply ingrained, often invisible systemic gender bias, made even more debilitating when overlaid with other forms of prejudice. Irene broke through both glass and bamboo ceilings to become one of the first Asian women promoted to the senior executive service of the Australian Treasury and the Australian Taxation Office. In her Women Leaders Coaching Program, she coaches women in all stages of their journey to break free from societal biases, set their own terms, and thrive as powerful and authentic leaders. We are going to have quite the conversation. I hope you're ready, and we will dive in. So Irene, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex, for having me on your show.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for our conversation today. I know we are connecting from totally different parts of the world. And one of the things I love about podcasting and is just the opportunity to connect with women all over and learn that we all share in similar struggles and similar journeys. And you definitely have quite the story in just overcoming a lot. Between being a woman and being an Asian woman and, you know, in corporate and now with what you do. And I know we're going to kind of hone in on the aspect of telling our stories on this episode, which I'm really excited about. But before we do that, maybe just share a little bit with us from, you know, your perspective, any part of your story that you feel like ties us into this conversation well.
Well, Alex, like you, I'm really excited about the technology. I can't believe how it's enabled us to connect like that and meet and to connect with everybody else around the world. So
yeah,
I think there's real power in that. My story, I am Australian. I'm living in Canberra. I'm an immigrant here, originally from a small town in Malaysia called Ipoh. This is my signal to anyone who's listening who's from Ipoh. I'm one of them. I'm the eldest daughter of a single mother. Growing up in Malaysia when I was then, at a time when single mothers were not a socially acceptable thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm ethnically Chinese. So I am a member of a minority race in Malaysia. So there you go, the theme, minority race in Malaysia. And of course, in Australia, I'm in the minority as well. So I'm a wife, yeah. I'm a mother. I've got two daughters who are born in Australia. And I'm telling you all this background because it really underpins my career, which began in Singapore, and then it's been largely in this place, although it's exposed me to a whole amazing series of opportunities internationally as well. So it's a career that I couldn't have dreamt of in my wildest dreams. So yes, there were many challenges and there were many barriers. And despite all of that, I've enjoyed quite a bit of success and many firsts in that journey of success. So I was a pioneer for many things. I'll leave it at that in terms of career. So go look at my LinkedIn profile if people want to know more about what I've been up to. My story, as I said, has underpinned all of that, including through its challenges. And then today I have created for myself a really fulfilling career as an executive leadership coach. And when I look back, it's truly that everything that has happened in my career, in my life to this point has culminated in this career that I have today. And this feels like home. You know, I feel so lucky. I feel so lucky to be engaging in something that's so aligned with my passion and my purpose to support women and others who don't feel they can draw on their whole power to lead in a way that's authentic to them.
Yeah. All right. We might diverge just a little bit from what we said we were going to talk about at the beginning, because I want to hit on this. You know, this has also been my experience. And with a lot of women I work with, it's like we can get kind of put in a box, you know, our title or our career, like whatever the thing has been. And I'm finding more and more, like for me, there's been this evolution, and it sounds like for you too. And it's like the journey, no matter how hard, or the ups and the downs. And, you know, I've talked on the show some, like I went through a bankruptcy in my first business with my chiropractic practice, and like stuff, right? That formulate our story that we'll get into. And yet we arrive, you know, when you're willing to kind of go through the courage of approaching that with from a growth place and where it's really taking you from, you can look back and be like, oh, all these things happen so that I'm here. And this is like, I love that idea of just being like, home. Like, this is what I'm meant to do.
Yeah. And I like, I mean, not that I like your story of bankruptcy, but being through something like that, you've seen how bad it can get.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, when you rise through that, you look back and you see how strong you are, basically.
Yeah.
You can level at your strength, you know, picking yourself up. And then also you are changed by that experience, because you've been there. You know how scary it is, or how, you know, basically you can answer that question. What's the worst thing that can happen, with real experience, and know that you are going to emerge from this fine.
Yeah. That's actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because that's been one of my growth things recently. Because the process of going through bankruptcy in the United States anyways, it's pretty simple and honestly not all that painful. Like I really didn't lose anything, but the emotional side of it and the story that I attached to what it meant about me was a different story. But one of the things I journaled on recently was, you know, having been through that experience, the reality of me recreating something that would, and there again, is like, it's practically impossible. You know, there's always some other external circumstance that could happen, but knowing what I know now versus then, it's impossible for me to recreate that for myself. So that was one of the things that I've unearthed recently.
Yes. So that's definitely a defining time for you in your life that you'll empower forever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And looking at this, I know when we kind of met before we are recording this and came up with this idea of story and our story and owning our story and really using that as a place to come from leading our lives authentically. So I'd love to get into like, what does that mean?
So for me, one of my strengths, the foundation of my career, is having a lot of clarity about what I'm about.
Yeah.
And having clarity about my values, my strengths, and what gives me fulfillment in terms of purpose. And I get that from emotionally connecting with my life story and drawing power from that story. So when people say, you know, what's your leadership career and how did you get to this point? Actually, the answer is I got to this point through a series of defining times, defining times in my life. So my equivalent to your bankruptcy story, if you like.
Yeah.
So a defining time for me, I mean, is when I was that 10-year-old girl going through, well, my parents were going through this messy divorce. Right. I'm the eldest of a family of three daughters. So I've got two younger sisters. And at that time, it wasn't socially acceptable to be, who gets divorced, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
Right. So all that was packed into that story. Relate that to what you shared, that, oh, you know, you are Irene, you are now from a broken family.
Mm-hmm.
And the implication might have been something like, you ought to be ashamed because there's something quite broken about you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I had to rise through that. And I didn't know as a 10-year-old girl about rising through anything. But when I reflect back, I looked at what I did then and what the circumstances called upon me to do, which was, so at that time, it wasn't that you leave the kids out of the divorce. It was that kids are really into the story, right?
Yeah.
And the eldest, and being the person in my family who can speak the official language in Malaysia of Malay and of English, and my mom was Chinese speaking. So I started off interpreting for her with government officials, banks, and, you know, all these very important people to protect our house, our family home.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I started off interpreting, and then I felt I had opinions. So I started off as interpreter, and I morphed into advisor to my mom, expressing my views to her about what it is that I thought we should do to protect the family home.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process, actually, when I look back, it was that I found my voice. You know, the more I used my voice, the less scary it was, and that I could answer that question, what's the worst thing that can happen? You say what you want, and then you have a chance of getting it, right? So that was in relation to the family home, because there were a lot of norms that suggested what the polite thing to do was, a 10-year-old, who the hell are you? Why should we listen to you? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was a, right? So that was a defining time that really led me to identify my strengths, you know, my voice, my courage, persistence, my tenacity. All of that came from that defining time.
Yeah. I was just reflecting on that's such a powerful way to look at it. Cause, you know, on the other hand, I can see, like, I feel like at 39, I'm just now finding my voice, because I grew up in a home where it wasn't safe to have opinions. This has been, I'm actually reading a book on narcissistic mothers today. So this is kind of in my head. But like, when we can tune into those challenging times and find the strength of who we really are in those situations, because all of you listening, no matter what your story, what your defining moments are, your challenges, you can look back and see how you came through them. Like, you're all still here listening. So you're assuming that you've grown, you know, in some way through that.
Yeah. And other defining times that I have has to do with looking back as you also, mm-hmm. and seeing all the wonderful, wonderful things that have happened to me, that I have experienced, you know, through all of that. Yes, there was my mom, who was so strong and so courageous and so full of integrity. That's one defining time. So it was a scary time. It was an unsettling time. There was so much at stake. But I saw her stand tall, and I saw her, you know, try to do the right thing, and I saw her ensure the future of my sisters and me. That's the first thing. And then in my career, early in my career,
mm-hmm.
how lucky was I to come across two women leaders? So they came into my life sequentially. They saw in me what I didn't even see at the time. You know, today I would use the language of allyship. They were my allies. I didn't know then. I just liked working for them because they gave me opportunities to show myself what I was capable of, you know. So, and I look back and I think, what did I do to deserve that? I was just minding my own business, doing the best that I could. But if we want the system to change, we need people like that. So anyway, defining times that come out of challenge, defining times that come out of gratitude and a lot of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's shaped my own career. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping to coach women to see their own power, to see the power in their story, and to frame their story for power rather than.
Yeah. So let's say, if you're open to it, let's maybe dive in a little bit to that. Like, where do we start with that? And, you know, part of this is like really owning our power ourselves, even when we might want to. This has been something I've actually been focusing on this week, because I just re-released the book I wrote last year and never really like acknowledged, right? Because we minimize our accomplishments. This is something I see in a lot of women. And it's, you know, only even in there, I actually have a quote. I usually quote the Marianne Williamson's quote about letting our light shine, so which gives permission to others to shine. I have my own quote that is like that powerful that someone quoted back to me. And I was like, who wrote that? And they were like, you did.
Tell me the quote.
I'll pull it up. But what I want to get to with that is, where was I going with this? Yeah, where do we start with starting to shift the narrative that we have around ourselves and what our story means? Like, because we all, you know, we assign meaning to the things that have happened to us. And I say they happen for us, but how do we start to shift that?
And I'm going to find one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Step number one is to tap into your emotions. So I do a lot of emotional intelligence work with my clients as well. I think that emotional intelligence is at the heart of everything we are and everything we do. And our power comes from our emotional intelligence. So to pull out the defining moments from your story or defining times from your story, you can do a timeline. I think there is, what's the name of that exercise? It's an exercise called the Lifeline exercise. If you Google it, you'll find Lifeline exercise that came from Harvard Business School.
Right? Yeah.
You plot on that Lifeline things, or, you know, eras or times or moments that you've experienced strong emotions. So whether they are comfortable emotions or uncomfortable emotions. So, you know, in my case, when I talked about being 10, it was that I was scared, I was in despair, and all those strong emotions, feeling disempowered and all those things, and then feeling powerful, feeling courage, and feeling bolder and bolder, stronger and stronger. So that's the other strong emotion, right? And then, like when I mentioned my gratitude, you know, my mom is my gratitude, my two women leaders in my career. It was, those were times when I felt just, gratitude, joy. Yeah. So plot your defining times on this Lifeline. Identify all the times when you've had strong emotions. Mm-hmm. Then look at the story that you're telling yourself behind these defining times. So you might say, for example, at 10 years old, the story I might have been telling myself, which I wasn't, but you know, I could be telling myself something like, don't trust people, they're terrible. So make sure that you always protect yourself against these people who are going to hurt you, and don't make trouble by holding back what you want to say, because look at all the trouble it got you into, because it did get me into all sorts of trouble, right?
Right.
You know, so you can interpret it in a limiting way like that.
Yeah.
But that's going to keep you locked.
Yes.
Locked. Yep. In that despair, in that fear. And in the way to do it then is to reframe that and to look at it and say, what did I learn from it? Hey, I'm here today, just like you were saying. We're here today. We made it.
Yeah.
What did we do that helped us make it? What strengths did we exhibit at the time to help us work through that and emerge from that situation?
Yeah.
Yep. And what made And what is it that made you feel, I often say, fulfilled, accomplished, and proud, you know, that you did? And those are your strengths. Those are your values. They point to those things. So if you do that to each of the defining times, and with the countable emotions, they're already telling you, you know, that the things that you admire and that the qualities that you admire, that perhaps you want for yourself. So that's another indicator of what it is in the end, all the values and your strengths that are important to you and that enable you.
Yes, I love that. And then, you know, when you can start to, when you really get clear on this, like I have a coaching client I'm working with right now who just, she was in Thailand for most of the winter because she just made it so that that happens. She, you know, lives in Alaska, but while she was there, she went on this retreat and it got her, it just like, you know, the process of the month stripped away everything to where she's really clear on like, this is me, this is not me. And there's certain things in her life that are just like, that doesn't work with who I am. And so I, you know, I'm just encouraging everyone to listening to this, that as you can start to really pull out what those things are that are truly important to you, it can shift some big things.
Yes. And your stories from the past, if they invoke feelings of despair and all of that, and if you leave it like that, if you leave your interpretation of the story like that, you stay locked in that past.
Yes.
You don't get to grow from it.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas if you look at it through a lens that says, a lens of growth, which is what, you know, of growth and of possibilities, then you'll start to see actually all the values that are going to enable you to be that way as you move forward. And I say particularly as you move forward as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Gap and the Gain by Dr. Ben Hardy and Dan Sullivan. They talk about this. It's basically about this concept, but it, you know, the gap is where we kind of live in that locked state where we're disempowered by whatever the thing was. And the gain is where you start to find the things you can be grateful for and like the blessings and the, you know, and staying more in that. It's reframing the mindset to focus on the good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Reframe is exactly the right word.
Yeah.
And I've also found that I've looked through, and every time, by the way, every time I look through my journey, I get more of the story. I guess more of the reframing happens.
Yeah.
So I've looked at my story. I mean, and this has been an evolving process. I've seen the villains in my story, and I've been able to actually feel compassion for those villains.
Yeah.
Because we see in our story, we might have been villains too, even though we didn't intend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we know what our intentions were, not to be villains.
Yeah.
But when we look at our story, well, when I've looked at my story, I've started to feel compassion. You know, the villains are starting to fall away and they've become much more human characters, right? And that, in turn, makes me feel peace, an increasing peace.
Yeah. I love that idea of embracing, it's like the humanness of being human, really. But, you know, I think we live in this world where we're constantly trying to measure up to some sort of ideal. And there's nothing for us there except to feel like we're falling short. So when you can really start to view the world, I'm not sure what kind of lens I want to call that, but compassion is really a great word for it. And I've been learning there's so much healing that comes from starting to bring compassion to yourself, which is a hard one, and to those around you. So
women, especially, we've not been conditioned to have this compassion. Ourselves.
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, ever since we were born, society has had messages for us about how we should be, how we ought to be, what we're allowed to be, and, you know, what it means for us to be a good girl and therefore a good woman, you know, something for us to measure up to. So that's the story that we've been nurturing, or that, you know, that society has been imposing on us for a long, long time. So unless you're deliberate about it and conscious about practicing that reframe so that we can bring our own power, we will be locked in that old story, those old limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, this is good. All right, I'm going to share my quote with you because this ties into what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
This is from my book for everyone listening. It is called Unearthing Selfless Syndrome, The Journey to Renewing Your Energy and Reclaiming Yourself. But here we go. Every woman I meet has a story to tell. Every woman I meet is more powerful than she often gives herself credit for. And personally, I'm tired of women hiding in the shadows of our greatness and not sharing who we really are. This battle we have been fighting for generations to have a voice and feel safe and secure in being in who we really are is not going to improve unless we first speak up and share our own stories. Too many of us suffer in silence. Too many of us feel like we are alone. Too many of us stay stuck and play small because the world has told us it's safer to do so. We have to do the hard work to cut through the noise of what everyone else says we should do and discover who we really are, and then be willing to listen to that inner wisdom and guide that lives within us and allow her to show us the way.
Oh, Alex, that's wonderful. I've written this down. That quote is just fantastic. I am going to get the book. Unearthing?
Well, thank you. Unearthing Selfless Syndrome.
Okay.
I can send you a link. And for those listening, the link will be in the show notes. But
it so resonates with me, this thing about doing the work and really, you know, working on your story and then sharing your story and not hiding in the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been in the shadows for a long time too.
I know. Well, and we're so, so ingrained in us to do so. And like, you know, I have, and I talk about them in the book. I actually, the bankruptcy story, I don't share as much in the book because I wasn't ready to share that one yet. But since then I have been. But, you know, I talk about having an affair in there. Like the things that we're taught not to talk about or that's unacceptable, as we start to voice them, it brings our power back. You know, it gives us power over that narrative instead of hiding something in shame. Yes.
And I like, and this thing, this, I think it connects to this idea of humanity and being human.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the villains and the, you know, the saints and the villains.
Mm-mm. No, we're all human. And, you know, I think part of like those really, you know, that particular experience, me going through an affair post my divorce, got me grounded in my own humanness. Like the good that came out of that was I was horrified by that I could do something like that. And it was with my best friend's husband. And she and I have since connected and, you know, we're actually friends again. We're going on vacation together in May. Like this beautiful healing came out of this. But it also helped me understand, like my first husband was an alcoholic and, you know, he was very much a villain in that story. And I, after going through that myself, could understand and relate to him in a new way. We, you know, aren't still together. There's boundaries there. But just to speak to what you're saying, you know, I think as we can just, and that came from owning my own power in that. And in doing that, you find what you can be responsible for and then you can shift. So it's a powerful
thing. Thank you, Alex. The book and for sharing that story here. It's a real reminder to all of us what we are capable of when we are brave enough to tap into our story and unearth and see who we truly are.
Yes. Because we really are, we're all incredible. And we don't give we don't believe that enough about ourselves. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was saying about hiding in the shadows. I've been hiding in the shadows. So I was working in a corporate, in treasury. So I was doing economic policy and all of those things. The reason I created my own career as a coach is because too many women were hiding. People who are just wonderful to death, but no amount of me telling them that is going to convince them. So I feel I have to, so I trained as a coach to help in a professional way women to stand and to embrace their own power in all their dimensions, but also to practice myself what it is that I want for other people. So to increase me, come into the light.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, yeah, there's so much power in that. Like, I think, in the way that I've always approached leadership, it's like I go first, right? I never ask anyone to do anything I haven't challenged myself to do first or really step into. And it's a great way to hold yourself to what really matters is to step up to say, we're doing this. I'm going to show you how.
Exactly. So don't just say, do. And I think you mentioned this earlier. When we do this, we give others permission.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And we give others courage. And I am showing up at this podcast today in all my, I told you before when I started this that I was nervous. Yeah. So, yeah, with all my vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
So that is what, you know, I'm doing this because I want others to know as well. Perfection, I'm about, if I could, I might, what do you call it? I might ban that word, perfection.
Mm.
Perfect. I'm never going to be perfect in that way. I mean, I'm perfect in my perfection. But do you know what I mean? I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Idea of perfection.
There's those ideas.
Comparison.
That we,
Yeah.
At some
so
point.
If I could, add that word.
We need a new word, but I don't really know what the word is that I'm looking for.
And I have a mantra that came from a Miss Marissa Murgatroyd. Anyway, she's another one of, she's a coach for me and someone that I admire. She says, we're iterating to awesome. We're iterating to awesome.
Ooh, I love that. I'm going to steal that. We're iterating to awesome. I need to write this down. Okay, before I forget. I love that. So we've covered a lot and I just so love and appreciate the energy and just the real way of diving into this and talking about our stories and owning that. And is there anything that you want to touch on that we haven't covered or that's there? Or do you feel like we've arrived? I mean, we gave everyone a lot. So
I think we are there. All of this sharing of story is my way of saying to people, tap into your story. I'm sure there's a lot in your story to be inspired by, you know, as in your book says, you know, everyone has a story and that story has a lot of power. So I would encourage everyone to tap into their story and see, to discover what their deepest values are, what their strengths, what they're capable of, and what will fulfill them going forward.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's only do that work that you can present yourself authentically and vulnerably.
Yes. And it's, you know, it can be terrifying to really come from that place like that. This is something I, and like, it's not a, you know, you just do it and then you're like, oh, here's the real me. It's an ongoing journey. But that, you know, you use that word fulfilled a couple of times. And so many women I've worked with and I've met, myself included, like we reach this point in life and we're just so unfulfilled by what we've been doing. And you know, but what's beautiful in it about it and kind of what you shared is when you can look back and reflect on your story from a different point of view and kind of be open to the possibilities of like, this has been molding me into this next step. Like until you can do that, fulfillment is probably, you know, a pipe dream, but it is possible as you.
I don't see it as a sequential thing.
Yeah.
If you look at my story, yeah. And you see what has fulfilled you before, or you reframe that story to tell you what would fulfill you. Then every day as you go through your day, you can find elements that will fulfill you.
Yeah. I like that too. Yeah.
So it's not that we have to wait for one day when we've got all the ducks lined up,
right?
You know, to be fulfilled, but every day. So before I became a coach, I found a lot of fulfillment whenever I saw the sparkle in someone's eyes that as a result of something that we've been talking about, that they'd say, That is to me, I just want to pack up and go home because my job is done. I feel that's what fulfills me, you see.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a thought there and then I totally lost it. But yeah, no, that's, you know, that's connecting to those things that just bring us joy and light us up and that are the, you know, the things that make the difference. And what I found is it's not about your job title or what you do for work or any of that. Like, you can show up and find those pieces of what fulfills you in any career and in anything. It's, you just have to open your blinders to see it.
Yes. Of course, I've traveled through my career and I don't want anybody to think that, oh, if you're very fulfilled, then you can just stay in that role forever. Well, what I did was I say, oh, this is wonderful. How can I cast my net or expand my influence, you know, because I want more and more people to be working well like that, to be thriving like that. So for me, it's always looking for the opportunity to serve in a bigger way. And that's why I've gone and asked for those opportunities. None of them came to me. I had to ask. I don't know. Yeah. And take the risk. Take the risk. Check yourself.
Yeah.
You know, remember that I've never failed to learn anything that I've wanted to learn, except for golf, but never mind about that. Yeah.
My husband's a golfer. We'll leave that one alone. I remember the last thing that I wanted to kind of say with this, just from how you describe, you know, this process of where you've gotten to and finding those moments of fulfillment. There's this concept that like was hammered over my head in chiropractic school of all places, but it's the idea of be, do, have. And most of us get this backwards. We try to do, have, and then we get to be something. And what you've described and, you know, what I'm still learning every day is that we get to choose how we be and how we show up in the world in any moment. And so it's not that you have to go get the new job or launch the business or leave the marriage or like any of that stuff. You get to, you choose who you be. So, and you're a great example of what that's looked like.
So, I want to correct you. The implication that I'm kind of there already. Every day I do this. I wake up in the morning and then I make a deliberate decision to be loving, you know, enabling. I want to be joyful, you know, all those things. I put on my music to get me into that mood and all of that. And all of that, understanding that how I show up then starts the ripple effect for all the possibilities. So if I show down and pessimistic, then different things happen. Whereas if I show up positively and, you know, energized by my service, the way I want to make a difference in the world, then possibilities open up for me to do more of that.
Yeah.
So it's being first.
Yeah.
Then your thoughts will start to align and then your actions will follow.
Yes, absolutely.
Be, do, have. Is that what you said?
Yep.
I'm learning so much.
I know. I love these conversations because we just kind of flow off of each other and learn together. So yeah, be, do, have. And, you know, it's easier said than done for sure, because we're very ingrained to that we have to do something in order to be who we want to be and have what we want to have. But
so we practice to make
your being. Yeah.
Yes. Focus on being.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Okay. We'll go ahead and let everyone go brain dump all these things that we talked about. But it sounds like the best way to connect with you is on LinkedIn.
Yes, definitely. LinkedIn, Irene Sim, Executive Leadership Coach. I was going to say I look like that, but if you're on the podcast, you won't know how I look. Irene Sim, just for me. Love to have a conversation with people who want to share their story about that carries power, or that they want to talk about how to unearth the power from their story.
Yeah. And
to talk to anyone who wants to learn to lead on their own terms, because I run a program for women leaders to be leaders on their own terms. So you can see the congruence between that work and the story work.
Yeah, love it. Well, Irene, thank you so much for joining me. If you aren't watching the video, Irene has some awesome pink tipped hair that is like tied together perfectly with her necklace, which is amazing. I just wanted to show
you. I love colors.
I appreciate you. I appreciate this conversation. I'll put links to your profile in the show notes. And yeah, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you too.
Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I have one small favor to ask. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave us a review wherever you're listening from. This is a huge help to us on our mission to reach 1 million women around the world. You will also be entered into a drawing to win a free copy of my book, Unearthing Selfless Syndrome: The Journey to Renewing Your Energy and Reclaiming Yourself. Looking for more resources or the opportunity to connect more deeply? Find me on LinkedIn at Dr. Alex Ridley or visit www.emergentwomencoaching.com. Until next time, remember to honor and love yourself in each moment. Embrace the challenges life throws at you, and continue to release the things that no longer serve you in order to rise into your future.